Our Bible text is taken from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Good morning and greetings. Shall we bow our heads for our prayer? Dear Jesus, please guide your humble servant, Derek Kolah. We thank you, dear Lord, for giving us an ability of tongue and an ability of spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you bestow upon each and every one of us. But come close to us now as we realize that we have a great commission. And the great commission is, of course, to spread your name through the world into our community. Jesus, we ask that you draw close to us now as we study and we learn a better way or a way. Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can look with me at Luke chapter 24, 44 through 49. That's found in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. If you would also turn to Mark 16, chapter 16, 14 through 16 verses. That's Mark chapter 16, verse 14 through 16. And afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and unbridled them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Also, if you wish, you can look again at Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20. That was our scripture reading. Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and to I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Today there's a two-part session One part is on the fact that most of us would like to give a Bible study, or most of us would like to know how to give a Bible study maybe more effectively. Using the Empower Church information that the church has purchased, there is a series that goes through on how to give a Bible study, and it is very interesting. So if you would bear with me, I'm going to move a few things so people can see the screen a little better. I've asked for a helper or so to hand out some papers, and this goes along with what we have in front of us on the slide. If Samuel would come up and anyone willing to help him as he might, I have enough, I believe, for everyone. If you have an interest, you can pass your, well, we're passing those around, put your hand up. It goes along with what we're going to talk about and discuss today, and it is on how to give a Bible study. It says here, inserting an interest. Some people are ripe to study. Others are a little green, but nearly ripe. Then there are those who really haven't even blossomed yet. And how can we identify those who are ripe for Bible studies? We find that there are some characteristics of people who are considered ripe fruit. People who manifest an earnest desire to seek and find Bible truths. People who accept Bible studies and complete the lessons weekly. And people who are lonely, are unhappy, and dissatisfied with their lives. Oftentimes, ripe fruit for Bible study is people who feel the need for change in their life, people who are dissatisfied with their church, and people who don't belong to a church or are backsliders. Also, some characteristics of people that are ripe for a Bible study are people who accept major doctrines and make positive decisions. People who display signs, thank you, that they are under conviction. People who have evidence of change in a lifestyle as they learn the truth. Also, ripe fruit people are those who demonstrate a desire to share with others what they have learned. These people are in the category that you want to send into the field, or the people that you are in the field to give a Bible study to. So some characteristics of also green fruit, people that are almost ready for a Bible study, but maybe not quite there. These people usually will refuse a Bible study. And if they accept studies, they really don't have the total time to complete. They make excuses, maybe over and over, in completing a study if you're working with them for a Bible study. And they don't accept the clear teachings of Scripture. They are deeply involved and committed to their own church. They talk badly about the lesson that you might present, or your church, or your doctrines. They are friendly, but won't make any commitments. So here we have, in a course that you've seen on your paper, where we're going to go through some general principles of giving a Bible study. It says, use a good series of simple Bible studies. The Personal Ministries has a few in our collection that you can give a Bible study to someone if they show an interest. It's not necessary to write down your own set of Bible studies. There are many good, solid, proven sets. Have a distinct plan when giving a Bible study. Determine and have a distinct plan before you teach any subject. Study it through. It is important that you understand the Bible study or what you're covering yourself. Follow the same basic sequence with the interests. Don't skip a study, even if the student says they already know the subject. Be sure the person understands the subject clearly before going on to another subject. And it says, make Christ and salvation the center theme of every Bible study. It is Christ, the Christ on the cross, that really does attract. Present text after texts. The most effective and powerful Bible study presents one text upon another, as in Isaiah 28:10, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Present teaching truths after conversion. When an individual experiences genuine conversion, they are open to receive more of God's truth. Keep your arguments to a few on any subject. It is best to use only a few texts and notes on any given subject of a Bible study. Encourage informal remarks and discussions. Answer questions from your students, but keep them on the subject you are studying. Give examples and explanations. It is very important to keep the Bible study from getting maybe too complicated for you or definitely for your student. Work with the love of God in your heart. Meet people where they are. Each person is different, as we know, and that's the next section that we'll go into a little later after the Bible study principles. Recount your own experience in your conversion. We oftentimes relate to a story or how we grew in Christ and how we are now managing in this world. Pray before each study, very important. Deal with felt needs. They may be fearful of the final events just before Jesus comes or his actual coming. You will want to weave into the study some promises that would take away the fear and give comfort, trust, and faith that Jesus will be there and will see us through. Use additional texts. Be sure that you include some texts that focus on Christ as the center of the lesson. Use a personal testimony. They can know that the Christian life is working for you, and this will give courage that it can work for them. Make an application. Make the Bible study relevant to everyday struggles, as we all have them. Ask for a decision. Always close your Bible study with an appeal for a decision. And study at the pace of your student. Keep in mind that future lessons will often answer the questions that your students might ask. Show confidence, and thus inspire confidence in the lesson or for your students. Look people in the eye. Don't stare, but don't avoid eye contact. And be a good listener. Oftentimes we're told we can tell, but we're not a good listener. And so we can't maybe communicate as well. Use the person's name frequently. Contact with them is important. Use good posture. Don't slump and sit and stand erect, but yet be relaxed. Speak clearly. Not too fast. Have a pleasant volume, but not too loud and not too soft. Focus on the person you're talking to and on what you want to say. Have clear objections and accomplish them. Trust God that He will bless your Bible study. Discover your interests, met needs. This is so important. Weave Bible texts into your study that will address these needs with Scripture. Pray for discernment that you will be able to see their felt needs during your social time. It is wise to leave quickly after prayer, leaving them in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Avoid entering into conversation that are not spiritual at the close of the study. And I think this is so very important. Oftentimes we have a sermon and we leave the sanctuary and we go and we talk about so many other things that have happened during our life, during the week, that really somewhat reflect on the secularism of the week. And this is what they're saying here in this study. Don't. Concentrate so there is a conviction. Leave the Bible study guide with them and remind them of the date and time for the next study. Encourage them to take time for God's Word daily. Express your appreciation for their friendship and the pleasure of studying with them. So here's a breakdown, as you can see, of an outline of a Bible study. Within reason, a social time can be the 8 to 10 minutes. And then the actual Bible study, 30 minutes to 40. And an application decision. Notice how quick it is, 2 maybe to 4 minutes. It's not talking about what the next football game is or what has happened maybe in your life that week that was real secular. You want to leave them with prayer. Oftentimes when you have a Bible study, you discover what hinders them, because most of us are hindered by something. And come close to your Bible students' contacts. Getting close to your Bible study contacts will help them through the difficult times of meeting obstacles. It says never argue. Avoid conflict. Accept objections. Don't be really surprised by them. And answer objections before possibly they might be rose or they rise in the discussion of the Bible study. Give short, concise answers. But then again, listen carefully to each objection. Meet objection with texts. This is very much of a preparedness by us that would be giving the Bible study. This might indicate that people have genuine questions that loom larger in their minds. The person has not fully made up their mind on a topic, and the person may be using an objection to defend themselves. Pray with your students before each study. Keep the Bible study simple. Keep the Bible study short and possibly yes, to the point. Be a learner. Don't claim to be an authority on the Bible. It's important not to give your students the impression that you think you have all the answers and they don't know anything. Study the lesson in the given order. It says, be consistent. Study every week at the same time. Study one lesson at a time, maybe two at the most. Keep the student on track. Let the student ask questions. Questions will arise that you might not be prepared to answer, and this is often the case. Don't pretend you know the answer. If you don't know the answer to a question, tell them you don't know. Say, I'm not sure about the answer, but I'll find out and give it to you the next week. Ask for a decision at the end of the lesson. It says here, depend on Christ. Isn't that what our focus is Christ, to lead people towards? Depend on Christ to help. Read the introduction, possibly to the lesson. Explain to the student how you will review the lesson. If someone gives you a possible wrong answer, never say that they are wrong. Instead, say, we seem to have a different thought or thoughts to this question. Remember to be kind, tactful during the study period. Be a good listener. And that has come up a few times. Be a good listener and ask questions. Tactfully postpone answering questions that will be possibly yet covered in the future Bible study. Don't be embarrassed. If a student asks you a question you can't answer, encourage the student, if he hasn't completed a study guide, please try to do it when you return. the next time. You know, after we have learned the how-to of giving a Bible study, we must continually remind ourselves that after all is said and done, it really is the Holy Spirit that must bring the fruit to the harvest. We may plant the seed, but only the power of God can really make it grow. If you'd like to look in your Bible once again, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. This is in Acts chapter 1, 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many these days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Jerusalem? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. If you would also look in John chapter 20, 19 through 23. John chapter 20, 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then where the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. The scriptures that we've been reading today and following in the Bible are all leading and going along with the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is for us, may we be young or old, to go into the world and preach, give a Bible study. But oftentimes, like myself, we have felt we're not quite capable, or we might have a lesson, but we're fearful to talk with others. I think that is part of human nature. That is part of our temperament, and we'll be going into that a little later. Now, most of this study today has been put together by Richard O'Fill. He had visited this church a few weeks here, but he has been here in this church. And this has been put together by Amazing Facts. It is called the Empowered Church because it is empowering all of us to go forward in what we can do with the talent and faith that we have. It says here in the Empowered Church information, successful evangelism is 90% pre-work and 10% preaching. Too often churches sow few or no seeds in the community and end up frustrated or bitterly disappointed because their evangelistic efforts fail to be successful. Time after time, the disillusioned words have been heard. Evangelism just doesn't work anymore. But you know, it says the truth is that public evangelism does work. It is one of the most effective forms of harvest available. However, public evangelism alone seldom works. Often we have overlooked the secret of the harvest, sowing seeds. As a church launches its evangelistic plans, it seems to remember the simple biblical principles of sowing and reaping. In evangelism, is simply one more program in church members' overstuffed calendars than the church's evangelistic efforts will likely bring disappointment results. Successful pre-work, including things called bridging events, the visitations, in-home Bible studies, and personal invitations to church, we take an investment in what we value. Investing prayer, we invest money, time, and enthusiasm in pre-work will transform your church's evangelistic experience. The evangelism module will give your church the tools it needs to implement a successful evangelistic cycle. On the back of your sheets of paper, you saw a do's and don'ts of evangelism, and that was rote, and that is a great follow study to when you choose to go out and give a Bible study. Because really, in our scripture meditation, and this was found in Luke 11, 33, the lamp of the body. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. And in passage 35 and 36, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. I have another handout, and if Sam wouldn't mind coming and helping me again, I have one that is not as many. So if you would, it's somewhat of a little bit of a temperament quiz or a evaluation of your temperament. So if you would, pass it out, and we'll discuss it just a little bit later. But you know, our goal is really, when we do a Bible study, a truly converted members of a church. And it says here, ministers who labor in towns and cities to present the truth should not feel content, nor that their work is ended until those who have accepted the theory of truth realize indeed the effect of its sanctifying power and are truly converted to God. God would be better pleased to have six truly converted to the truth as a result of their labors than to have 60 make a nominal profession and yet not be thoroughly converted. And this is found in Ellen G. White's writings, Evangelism, page 120.1. The love of God must be living in the heart of the teacher of truth. His own heart must be imbued with that deep and fervent love which Christ possessed. Then it will flow out to others. This is found in Testimonies, Volume 4, 317. And also in Evangelism, page 320.2. our goal, truly converted members to the church, the evangelist must finish his instruction. A laborer should never leave one portion of the work undone because it is not agreeable to perform, thinking that the minister coming next will do it for him. When this is the case, if a second minister follows, or as us as lay people follow in a Bible study, follows first and presents the claims that God has upon his people, some draw back, saying the minister or the lay person who brought us the truth did not mention these things, and they become offended because of the word. Some refuse to accept the tithing system in the Bible. They turn away and no longer walk with those who believe and love the truth. When other lines are open before them, they answer, "It was not taught us," and they hesitate to move forward. How much better it would have been if the first messenger of truth had faithfully and thoughtfully educated those converts in regard to all essential matters, even if fewer had been added to the church under his labors. Gospel Workers, page 369 and 370. You see, our goal is what is on the screen. And all the green slides is what I have added into the presentation. But it's all part of something that I have read and I have gathered from Ellen G. White. But really, our goal is bring other humans to an understanding of Jesus Christ. Bring the Bible and the Bible facts alive. Give people the hope in the end times. Pray for one another. And as the title of the sermon is, serve amongst each other. Now, I'm a strong believer that I have a temperament, and my temperament differs from others. But a temperament is inherited. And so what you have in front of you is, and if you don't, I'd be happy to make more copies, is a slight quiz that goes along with the idea that each of us have a certain way of how we think. What I'd like to introduce is the very fact that some of us have talents that bring us to the forefront and say, yes, I'll be able to do a sermon. And others tend to shy away. Or others say, I can do a Bible study. No hands down. There's no problem with that. I'd be happy to. But then there's others that have a temperament that I'm not quite sure, and they hesitate back. It says here, interpreting your temperament. Temperament is an inherited part of personality. Since it's inherited, it is always with you. Your environment may change, but your temperament remains literally the same and very stable. Most of the scientific work on temperament has been done by a British gentleman called Hans Ehrlich. His research, which was begun almost 40 years ago, clearly demonstrates that temperament is strongly inherited, that it plays a major role in forming the personality, and that it is affects almost every major part of a person's life. Specifically, the hundreds of studies are conducted have shown that temperament plays a role in the following areas. Let me read just a small more. Moral and spiritual development. Studies have shown that temperament affects the ease with which children develop morally. The introverted temperament, which is more or less melancholy and phlegmatic, are generally easier to train than the extroverted temperaments, sanguine and choleric. Whenever a mother brings her child in for counseling with this complaint, I tell him and tell him what not to do, and he seems to want to learn, But then he turns right around and does it anyways. We've often found that a child is not necessarily rebellious or defiant. He's simply a very extroverted child. In conclusion, I believe that not only myself, but everyone has the ability to give a Bible study. And it is your temperament that helps you prepare or to understand your way of going about. If you choose, and if you choose not, I have the way to score your 80-question quiz, yes or no's. And I have a few of these that I'll be happy to let you look through. So when you take your quiz, you can decide what kind of temperament you are. That might actually help you better understand yourself. So when you're asked or when you choose, then you can follow through. May it be on the Bible study. Shall we all bow our heads for a closing prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we are individually made, and you made us. But then again, Father, we're thankful that we have those that will stand up and say, yes, I am wrong, I do bad things, and I do them daily. But I want to better myself, because if I do, I can maybe lead someone towards Christ. Lord, we're thankful for everyone, all humans. But we know that in the great commission that you have given us, it is for us to go and teach and tell about Jesus. And so thank you, Lord, for your promises of the Bible and what we have learned. We ask you to stay with us and stand by us. And Jesus, we're thankful. We are very thankful for what our knowledge is in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Jesus, we ask these things in your name. Amen.